Everybody sing. I just, I don't know. I just wanted to start with that. Go buy that song. Great song. You need to own that song. Go buy it.
I like my usual song better.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just sitting here and I just said, yeah, do something different. So, anyway, Fish and Frank in the chair here. We got Captain Kale in the chair across from me. And I know that was a weird way to start a Captain Kale segment, but I was just thinking, Barbara said the other day that, you know, since you've been chartering, you don't get to go fishing with Barb. But you guys went out the other day.
Yeah, we did. We had a pretty good day. Wasn't bad at all. Well, it wasn't bad for her.
Oh, man.
I didn't catch a darn thing.
Oh, okay. I mean, when you said wasn't bad for her.
Yeah, I couldn't catch a cold that day.
What happened? Barb skunked you, huh?
Yeah, she caught just almost everything.
Oh, yeah? What went on?
What didn't she catch that day?
You're so descriptive. I'm glad I have you on freaking radio here.
We started out, went and got bait, and we went to my hole on the west side, which has been holding a lot of snook, and the darn things have fins and move around.
Right.
And they weren't there.
Okay.
That lasted about 20 minutes, and we were about sick and tired of the no-see-ums.
Oh, yeah, that drives me out real quick.
Yeah.
Bite, 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 I'm gone.
Yep, see ya.
Yep.
And there was just a cloud of them around the boat. It's, when I take clients into this hole, I tell them, don't touch the mangroves.
Right.
Don't bump it with your rod. Don't hit it with your line. Don't smack it with your hand. Don't.
Because if you touch them, every museum in the world is
all of them come out.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Eventually,
they'll smell you, but when you get there and shake that tree,
they're going to find you.
It's instantaneous cloud. Yeah. Yes,
it's got sick and tired of that, and we went over to Poacher's Cut on a good strong incoming tide, and she sat there and caught everything under the sun. Snook, redfish, snapper. She did manage to catch a beautiful trout inside the hole in the west wall.
So she got her flat slam that day.
Oh yeah,
snook without a problem. Snapper or snook, redfish, and trout. She got her flat slam.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's kind of amazing, but you know, I don't know what I'd do without her. You know?
She does pretty good with the right guidance. I'm not going to give her all the credit. I'm not going to give her all the credit.
I'm just
going
to curl up under the desk and hide here. You know? So anyway, so you've been doing charter after charter. What's been going on out in the harbor?
The harbor is really starting to wake up now. We're getting into our spring swing. Our warm weather bender is...
Spring swing, spring swing, spring swing.
I don't know why.
I just, you know, what was that too with the goofballs, Wayne's World?
Yeah.
You said spring swing, and all of a sudden, all I can think of is Wayne's World. Spring swing, spring swing. I can't help it. Sometimes, you know, I don't know what the outside of this looks like, but the inside's a mess.
Yeah, it's, everything's been picking up great. Redfish are doing better. Snook are doing great. Snapper are just everywhere right now. Cobia are starting to warm up. Sharks are doing phenomenal. The tarpon are starting to warm up too. It's springtime.
Yeah.
Everything's getting that call to breed. And when you only get it once a year, you tendency to go nuts during that time.
Yeah. I I don't even want to say I know what that's like, but I probably know what that's like. Okay. Let's see. So, what have you been, what's the charter consist of lately?
I've been doing bull shark and backwater. Shark has been, again, really well. I'm really surprised at the number of sharks in the harbor. I'm surprised at the number of big sharks already in the harbor.
What type of big sharks are here?
Hammerheads, bulls, lemons. You're getting the big boys in. There's some really nice black tips out there. I had Robert and his family out the other day, and he caught probably the biggest black tip that he's ever caught. That's about how it went. And we thought, we were both sure that it was a tarpon. I mean, it hit a live silver trout underneath the float.
Yeah.
Didn't see the first jump. We both saw the second jump. Even though he's blind, I looked at, we both looked at each other and said, tarpon.
Right.
And then it was about 5 minutes into it, it's just not fighting like a tarpon. And it was probably a good solid five and a half foot to the fork.
To black me, tip. Black tip's the fastest fish. One of the fastest fish I've ever hooked up.
They are extremely fast.
Quick.
They're not Mako fast, but lacking the Mako.
I've never hooked the Mako.
They are. It's black tips. Makos make a black tip look tame.
Really?
When it comes to speed.
Yeah.
It really does. If you take the difference between catching, say, a black tip and a lemon.
Right.
Where a lemon is just a slow, powerful pull.
Right.
And the black tip is just greased lightning.
Yep.
That's how the black tip compares to the Mako.
I got to go catch a Mako now because I got to see that because I've never hooked anything as fast as a black tip. I've hooked bonefish, 30-some-odd inch bonefish, and they're quick. But
yeah, but when you watch a 5-foot shark miss a lure that's being trolled at 10 knots,
right,
fall back in the wake, and then catch up to you without a problem,
oh yeah,
it's amazing. It's amazing. You will miss your first one.
I've got it.
Because it's just dumbfounding how fast they are.
I've got to try that. I've only caught one striper. It's a little one. I caught it at Jacksonville.
I've never caught a striper.
And I've never caught a Mako. So I want to up my striper ante and do a Mako. So I'm going to make friends up in Jersey.
Go to Southern California and do it.
Yeah, I don't know anybody in Southern California. Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. Yes, I do. I know somebody out there.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I got a friend out there.
Do they have a boat?
No, but he works for TV, so he's bound to know somebody.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he works on all the TV
Much
shows.
Much better connections.
Yeah, so he's bound to know somebody. You know, there's got to be a wannabe actor running a charter boat out there somewhere.
Sure, sure. But the sharks have been phenomenal. That day we was out with Robert, we caught a little black tip, or a little hammerhead, and we were up in the upper hull.
Yeah.
You know, and it's rare to catch hammerhead up there, period.
Yeah, very rare.
Let alone this.
Have you hooked any king mackerel up in the harbor?
Haven't had any kings.
We're still getting reports of king mackerel.
I've had some
sporadic.
Really suspicious runs the other day that now you've got me thinking. Yesterday, we were fishing a little spot I have in between Bull Bay and Boca Grande Pass.
Right.
Almost directly in between them in a straight line. I have it marked on my graph as IFHFH.
All right.
I friggin' hate fishing here. That's the name of the place.
I friggin' hate fishing here.
Because it doesn't matter what direction the wind's coming from there. It's got an 8-mile head start on you, so it's always rough.
Right.
But it usually produces some of the best shark. And yesterday we started out for shark and we put five 40 to 50 pound black nose to the boat.
Wow.
Yeah, those are big blacknose. We're talking 4 foot, 4.5, 5 foot blacknose.
The thing I love about a blacknose is it's got to circle the boat before you can get in. So it is cluster.
Yeah, I hate
it. I mean, you hook up with that fish, and he takes off and runs, and then he starts doing big circles the way you think a jack would.
Yeah.
And he's going to start off, he's going to do a 360 at least once, if not several times, all the way around the boat.
You're going to make a couple trips around, especially in the big ones.
And you're sitting there holding this rod, trying to crawl up to the front of the boat, get to the front, and you got to go over to the other side.
Under the
back
anchor line.
Down.
Don't forget the anchor line.
Oh, yeah. You got to put the rod under the anchor line, bring it back up, get around, watch the motor, keep it off everything. But you literally, you get to view the entire boat at least once, if not more times.
Yeah. It's...
I don't know what it is about a blacknose, but they got to swim in a big
circle.
We're
only a month into the season. I already have a path worn in the gel coat.
Be re-gel coating again.
All that
year.
Stuff that we laid down a few months ago, it's no longer abrasive.
Right.
It's now nice and smooth.
Well, the good thing is we can do it again.
Yep.
That it's amazing when you get into those sharks how many times you go around the boat.
Yeah, definitely. And but it's the one thing that we noticed is I was putting down white bait. Catch me Spanish mackerel. Catch me jacks. Catch me more bait. We had a couple runs on the small rods on the white bait that just, they weren't sharky, if you know what I mean. It didn't, it picked it up, it took off, there was no stopping it.
Just very, very
gone.
Quick.
Run. And it was much, much faster than you would expect from a small or even a larger shark. It
right.
was just gone.
That does sound a lot like the kings, because if you do happen to stop them, a lot of times they go airborne. But it's getting them to stop before that's gone.
Yeah, and all of them bit through the leader, every last one of them. And I had that AFW tieable steel, that knottable steel leader. I'm in love with that stuff.
Yeah, I got to get a bunch more of that in. We sold out of it already. We got more coming in. Are you using the titanium or the standard? Or
we get that Supreme camo that we have out there on the shelf.
Right.
And love that stuff. And it's all Sean from AFW's fault for getting me turned on to that stuff.
Well, anything
I'll try it. Okay.
Yeah, and you can tie a uni knot and steel leader.
Yeah, and it's the snook don't seem to care about it. They have no problem sucking up white bait on that stuff, which is nice because now you don't have to worry about their lips rubbing through your leader. You can take your time with those big girls and get them to the boat. It's still strong enough to horse them out of the trees like you would with monofilament or fluorocarbon. And it's great this time of year out in the middle of the harbor because it's usually, you know, we got bluefish with a mouthful of teeth. We got Spanish mackerel with a mouthful of teeth, sharks. And now, mysteriously, we're full of kingfish, so.
All right. Well, hang on just a second. Well, I didn't notice. I don't know if you noticed, but we were gone for a minute there. We just put it on pause. Kale got me a package of the Surflon Micro Supreme 7-1 knottable nylon coated stainless steel leader. Now, the one I've got here is 40 pound test, camel colored. You get 16.4 feet, which actually makes quite a few liters. Now, how is this to tie knots with?
You won't notice the difference between it and monofilament. If you've tied knots with monofilament and fluorocarbon, you'll notice the fluorocarbon's a little bit more stiff and unforgiving.
Right.
This sits right in between them.
All right. Now, I've actually got it in my hand. I'm going to try and tie a knot here. But the one thing when you're opening up a pack of the AFW, just to make it easy on yourself, it's not the end you see first. That's the bottom of the spool.
Yes, don't pull that one.
Don't pull that one.
Or you're taking it all
off. Oh, my God, this is easy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, that actually ties easier than fluorocarbon.
Yeah.
I just put a uni knot in this, and now...
Without a problem.
The one thing you do have to do is work your knot a little bit more when you're going to put the end of the uni knot in there. But, boy, it slides nice, works nice, and there's no slip in it. I mean... that's great. It really is nice.
And that's a 7x7 wire. That's 49 strands. You have 7 strands of 7 strand wire.
Yeah. Wow, I'll be a son of a gun. That stuff's nice. And it's the American Fishing Wire AFW Surflon Micro Supreme. You know what this would be great for?
Spanish mackerel.
I was actually thinking up north. If you're making a trip to Canada.
Oh, muskie and pike.
And if you're going to do muskie and pike fishing, you got to try this stuff.
I like it with Spanish mackerel because a lot of people use steel with Spanish mackerel. The problem with your ready rigs is you've got that big swivel that makes an air bubble through the water.
Right.
And that bubble trail says, eat me, to that other Spanish mackerel.
Exactly.
And a nice small little uni knot. You can still bring it through your first rod eye if you need to.
You tie like it line to line like you would anything else.
It's no bigger than monofilament or fluorocarbon in diameter. So you still have a nice small knot. It doesn't make that bubble trail. And
like I say, the first thing I thought of with this was I would like to take this musky fishing. I know it's going to be good on shark and mackerel and all the rest of that stuff. But
we had it on one of the rods yesterday. She caught, I can't even remember how many Spanish mackerel, jacks, snook, snapper. And that leader lasted almost the entire day.
Now, don't do that, guys. Change this leader every third fish. This leader needs to be cut off and replaced every third fish.
Well, it should once you start splitting it. I left it on just to see how long it would last.
I'm kidding.
How long can I rely on this stuff before it gets weak?
I got to be the greedy business owner.
Sure,
I
mean, sure.
But no, I use it. How does it start to fray up? And once it frays up, what's the deal with it?
The Spanish mackerel did a number on it, but we got every last one of them to the boat without getting bitten off. You can start to see some chafing up above to where the other ones were trying to take the bait.
Right.
From that fish, like it had ridden up the line after he hit it, or it was sitting behind his gill as something else came up to bite it. It would fray the plastic coating a little bit and fray a couple of the lines, but you've got 49 of them in there.
Yeah, and it's 40 pounds, so even if you go through half of them, you still got 20 left.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh, you want to join in?
Sure.
I do have... I don't know, Kale, you want to just slide over, Mike? You can move that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. We're getting Captain Josh Greer. He's going to join in with us here just for a minute. Just throw the extension cord on the floor. Oh, what a day for a radio show. Just throw it on the floor, Josh. It's okay. I'll pick it up here when we're done. We got Kale moving over a mic and Josh moving in. And everybody there?
Hey, hey.
This place is getting less and less fat kid friendly every day.
Yeah, that it is.
Have you noticed that?
Yes. Hey, did you think that wasn't going to happen?
I can't tell you. I'm not a fat kid anymore. I'm not skinny, but I'm definitely not the big kid I was a few months ago. Lost all that weight, but that's what happens when you get these diseases. So, diabetes, folks. You know, I'm diabetic. I can't eat sugar and bread and stuff like
that's
that.
Not a
although
disease.
I do.
That's a condition.
Yeah, it's a condition. It's annoying. I get all the annoying stuff. The audits, the diabetes, you know.
If why can't I just get AIDS and get it done with?
Yeah, put me out.
Come on, cancer.
God. Okay, Captain Josh Greer here, as you can tell. So we've been talking about a lot of Spanish mackerel and sharks and everything else. What's been going on the water for you?
Oh, fishing's been good. Lots of fish to be caught. Mackerel, jacks, the snook bite's been good. Trout fishing's been okay.
Yeah, what's with the trout? Okay.
We didn't have any trout all winter. And then, hey, let's have some trout in the middle of 90-degree weather. I don't know. I have no idea.
And the ones that I was catching yesterday hadn't spawned yet.
Really?
They're still full eggs.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, I cleaned two of them the other day, and they both of them full eggs. I have no idea.
Okay.
Blows my mind.
Yeah, I'm, you know, tag on my brain's gone. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have all these rules for fish and what was going to happen and when
it was
going to happen.
The past 2 years, fix that for me.
Yep.
I don't have any more rules.
Yeah.
Now I just go fishing.
Yeah. It's
I even cleared all the waypoints out of my GPS.
Yeah. The past 2 years have blown all of everything I thought I knew about fishing away.
Yeah, I don't know
just
what it is.
About it.
Everything has just been coming and going. You been to Everglades recently?
I have about 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. How was it?
It was good. No big fish, but lots of fish, lots of Oscars, lots of Maya cichlids, lots of peacock bass. Had a guy lose probably the largest largemouth bass I've ever seen. The guy that lost it actually holds the New York state record for largemouth bass, which is like 11.8 pounds or something.
Yeah, they don't get big up there.
11-pound bass is big no matter where you're at.
I don't know.
But if you look at most of your southern states, your record is near the 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, 11.8, that's 12 pounds in anybody's book.
Right.
That's
he holds fish. that record, and the fish that he lost was, he swears up and down, was way bigger than that. I know it was I don't know how big it was, but it was a double-digit fish. I know that.
So what rods are you using nowadays?
I've got a couple of little Fish and Frank's rods, and
they're still working for you.
Yeah, they work good.
Those things are great, aren't they?
Yeah, I use those a lot, and I use a couple of Star Plasma 4 to 10 pound rods.
Yeah, the plasma's really nice.
Yeah, that's what he had that.
I never mind when you're saying Fish and Frank rods and plasma in the same breath. Yeah, you got a $49 rod and a $200 rod, and then you're talking about them in the same place.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was one rod we really came out good. I love it for flats fishing because when I'm casting the mangroves, I don't need distance, but I need to get under the trees.
Right.
You just turn it upside down and just skip it right in there.
Right.
Love that.
I love it down there in those canals because you're not making long casts anyways. It's perfect for that.
The first time I went down there with you and...
Yeah, you brought stuff to cast way too far.
Yeah, I was... I had everything wrong. I was wishing... I would have paid $200 for one of my rods at that point.
Yeah.
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 So, anyway, back up in here, you've been on the water?
I have been.
You have been?
About every day. It's been good.
Are you Captain Kill? What is it with you guys? I say, have you been on the water? Yes, I have. Crickets. Give me a break. Okay. You guys talk for a little while. Well,
exactly what more do you need out of an answer to is, have you been on the water?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
I have.
I didn't lie. I just said yes.
Well, I was kind of on the water.
Well, actually, technically, I was on the boat.
I sat on the boat and dangled a foot into the water, so I was kind of half on, half off. I mean, do you really need to delve into depth on that?
Yeah. Maybe I've been on the water too much, so my brain is fried. I don't know.
So what's been going on out there?
Like I said, fishing's been very good. That cold front we had, what was that, 2 weekends ago now?
Yeah, a week or two ago.
Yeah, that kind of threw a wrench in the works for a little bit, and then the full moon kind of threw another wrench in the works, and now it's starting to get good again.
That full moon is amazing. People don't realize the guys were going offshore and they weren't catching anything all morning. I'm saying, guys, it's a full moon.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with it?
Nobody ever thinks about a full moon, but I'll tell you right now, that full moon can ruin fishing. It really can.
If you're fishing during the day.
Right.
In the morning, because the full moon allows fish to feed all night long.
Right.
And it's low light conditions. They can see the bait, but the bait has a harder time seeing them. Right. It's easier for them to feed.
It triggers feeding just like it does in land animals, too. I mean, when
the bars are full on a full moon,
on a full moon, hunting is not good during the day. Well, it is, but it's good at noon. It's good at midnight. It's good at noon. It's the in-between is what kills you.
It's people don't think of what happens in the water every full moon. All of your lower life forms breed every full moon.
Charter boat captains do it every full moon?
If we're lucky.
Okay. Well, you're talking lower life forms. I was just curious.
We kind of forget that our corals, our plants, our planktons, they all reproduce every full moon. So that kicks the food chain in the pants also.
I will say I forgot that.
Plus you have your shrimp and crabs that molt on the full moons, and it makes them nice and tasty and smelly and easier to eat.
Oh, yeah, because people don't realize the shrimp does... when you put a hook in a shrimp, you could kiss that shrimp or put a hook in them. To them, it's all the same. There's no pain-oriented sensors because their entire outer body falls off once a month.
Right.
They become soft and gooey the way a crab does. Yeah, I know.
Maybe twice a month.
Then they get a little bit bigger. You got the soft and
gooey part, bro.
I know. I just need it to fall off.
I get that part of it. I waited years for mine to go away. But anyway, they get all soft and gooey like a soft shell crab. They're just mush, and then they get a bit bigger, and then the shell grows hard again.
Right.
But you don't have pain receptors when your entire outer shell falls off. You rely on that hard outer shell. And during that time when you're all soft and gooey, you are prey for anything moving. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just hoping that it eats one of the ones next to you and not you. It's safety in numbers.
Yeah, but it's the perfect midnight snack.
Exactly.
For all these fish.
Yeah, and they got to come up out of the mud to shed.
Well, yeah, everything loves that midnight snack. I mean, even us. That's why they put the light in the refrigerator.
What is today?
What is today?
Today is Tuesday.
Tuesday. So it would have been Friday. We were out after that big full moon.
Right.
And I could literally, I counted the snook laying in the potholes.
Just sitting there.
And watching a whitebait swim around in circles around their head.
Yep.
And not even moving an inch. Literally have to almost hit them with a stick-it anchor to make them move. They're there, but they're not eating.
So now how is it that we're 5 days later?
Better now. Now they're
eating. Much, much better.
Yeah, now they're eating again. So at least they're eating during the day when we want them to.
Eating during the day when you want them to, right. So it's amazing how one thing affects everything else. You cannot, if one thing happens, it is going to affect everything around it. And,
I'm still a firm believer that snook and tarpon, especially snook and tarpon, both are primarily nighttime feeders. Will they eat during the day? Yes, they will. But I think they truly go on a feed at night.
I'll agree with that.
From what I've noticed.
Yeah, I'll go along with that, no doubt.
Because I've seen tarpon do things at night that they never do during the day.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
They just get dumb at nighttime. You know? They don't do that during the day.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm fishing at night for snook, I usually take select handpick, jumbo-sized shrimp, free-line them up against the seawalls, and I can catch the heck out of them.
Yeah.
Something that's much, much harder to do during the day.
Right.
Yeah. How many times have you fished underneath the 41 bridge for tarpon during the day?
Very seldom. I'll do it on the north end underneath that kind of flat spot, and I can do pretty good there, but it's a lot of chumming, a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Not like it is at nighttime.
No, you can do a lot better at night.
So
anyway, fishing's better now. Everything's good. Is the flats the morning or evening bite? What are we looking at there?
To me, it's been kind of the first thing in the morning as the day goes on. And then, because of the heat now, it's a first thing in the morning and a late afternoon on the flats.
So we're looking at getting out early. This isn't the time to kind of be goofing off and taking your time in the morning. You want to get up, get out, and go fishing.
That's correct.
East side, west side of the harbor, anything doing better than the other ones?
I haven't been up in the harbor, tell you the truth. I've been out at Placida and down in Pine Island Sound.
I think the east side is doing much better than the west side. It just seems to be that nice, clear incoming water. It seems to be easier to catch fish in that than it is on the west side where you've got that outgoing tide coming down the side.
Now,
not much out on the flats on the west side. It's more those canal or those creek mouths. Where on the east side, you can still get out there, drift the flats, and pick up quite a few trout.
So, Josh, what's it like out there, Placida, and in that area?
The water is very, very clear right now. And these past couple mornings when the wind hasn't been blowing has made things a little more difficult. The fish seem to be feeding, but, boy, they're spooky. You know, when they're only in a foot and a half of water or a foot of water and laying in a sand hole, and it's like a mirror out there, they can kind of see everything most of the time before you can see them.
So this is the time to drag out those long rods, get your long rods,
light line, make long casts, long leaders. Fluorocarbon's a must. Yes.
Did you see this stuff? I'll have to get a cutters because I think I can cut it with this. We were talking about this on the show a minute ago. Here, tie a uni knot, steel leader. See what you think.
Oh, I have seen this stuff. think I've played with this before.
I'm actually very, very impressed. I tied a uni knot in that in a matter of seconds, and I had to play with it a little bit to form the knot because it wanted to hold out a little bit, but just a couple, it took me literally five more seconds to mess with the knot.
I didn't have to play with it.
You got it?
Yep. I don't either, so we'll just leave it at Frank.
It's one of those Frank things.
Well, yep. I wasn't tying it to anything. I would just tie it open air. I'm just making a loop knot there. And what do you think?
I hope you didn't need this bolt because it's a piece of cable tied around it right now.
If it's on my desk, who knows if it's useful or not. This desk gets, this is the catch-all of what happened there. You broke it?
No, I just pulled it loose.
Oh. So what do you think?
I like it. Do we have some out there on the shelf?
Yes, we sure do. Oh.
I've been using that for snook.
So when you're in the middle of the harbor, rather than having to carry crimps or a lighter and melt it or mess around putting the haywire twist in single strand, this stuff's amazing.
Have you tried tying it like a uni to uni?
Yeah, braid? I've been doing it to braid. Not a problem.
Hmm, interesting.
Just like you would mono or fluorocarbon. Works great.
What pound is that? 40 pound?
Yeah, I think this stuff's going to be a major hit. Once people figure out that you can actually tie steel on the same way as you tie fluorocarbon on.
I think it's great, especially for like kingfish.
I just cut it with a scissors, by the way.
Oh. Yeah.
I took that 40-pound test. I got this little pair of Rapala scissors, and I snipped it off with that.
I cut it with, you know, my pliers like I would the monofilament or the braided line.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I grabbed this little pair of Rapala scissors here, and I snipped the end of it off.
This is great for this time of year where all these mackerel are around.
Try it. I mean, it's just a regular pair of line-cutting scissors. Cut right through it.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Yeah, great. Sean's got
especially
a hit there.
Especially for this time of year, with the, like I said, with all the mackerel around.
And the little sharks and everything.
Yeah.
And this way you don't have to carry
and
crimps.
And trying to do haywire twist and hurry. Yeah. And
yeah, this stuff you can just simply tie it the same way you tie your fluorocarbon on. You instantaneous steel and you can go line to line with it.
Absolutely. So, I like it.
I do too. I'm really impressed. So
I'm going to get some of that for tomorrow, actually.
Yeah. And it's not bad. I mean, it's not cheap. It's, you know, $10, but
it's cheaper than fluorocarbon.
Yeah, it actually is cheaper than fluorocarbon when you look at it.
There's a lot of things cheaper than fluorocarbon. Yeah,
at least the same price.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so I think, what do you think? AFW winner on that one?
Yes. And it actually cuts easier with those scissors than it did these wire cutters.
Yeah, does not like wire cutters.
That's weird.
It doesn't like the dikes, no. It likes the scissors, so.
Right.
Really surprising. But you can melt that with your lighter the same way I'd usually do the normal cable. But anyway, weird stuff.
Very cool.
So now you guys can decide who goes first. I guess the answer I gotta, or the question I have to ask is, if you were gonna send average guy out, you know, normal Bob, and he's gonna go out and go fishing for the day, what's your best advice?
Go out early, catch yourself some bait. Go to any of these near shore reefs or reefs in the harbor. Chum with that live bait and catch some mackerel, catch some jacks, catch some small sharks, just catch some fish.
All right, Captain Kale.
Not far off from what I would do. Go down in front of Devilfish, grab yourself a live well full of bait, and stay there. Put them on a hook, throw them back out right there.
Really?
Where you got your bait. And
now,
we
I would have assumed that because the bait was there, there wouldn't be that many fish there.
Now, why?
Well, because, you know, otherwise the fish would be eating
the
bait.
Do you see the hungry people at KFC or Mattress King?
Well, okay, putting it that way. But usually if the bait's hanging out, there's not a lot of predators.
We went over this last year.
They wouldn't be there.
Laughed at these guys. They go to Devilfish, they pick up their bait, and then they run somewhere else to find fish. We sat right there at Devilfish for an hour and a half, and we caught trout, Spanish mackerel, jacks, ladyfish, catfish. If you want to go out and have fun and just bend a rod, go there, do that.
There you go. All right. So, next question is, and the last question for each one of you guys, is what's your outlook for this week coming up into the weekend?
Things are going to get real good, I have a feeling. I think our tarpon are here or very close to here. I think the tarpon bite's going to go get real good. The snook fishing will probably continue to get a lot better.
All right. I'm trying to bring this up on fishandfranks.com, and my computer's being really slow.
Unless there's a cold front coming.
To give you an idea, we've got chance of thunderstorms tonight, patchy fog in the morning, and then we've got Friday with a chance of showers, and Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be great weather until Friday, and even Friday isn't that bad.
You know, 30% chance. Yeah. So
the wind's supposed to pick up a little Friday, but everything else has been good throughout the week.
What's the wind doing all week, Frank?
About 10 mile an hour.
Yeah, it's talking 5 to 7. And
out of where? Out of which way?
East-southeast.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, most of it's going to be out of the east, switching to southeast, southwest in the afternoon.
I'm going to go to the one I got marked Harbor and Gulf because it gives a little better wind forecast on there. Friday, let's see, it's southeast 10 to 15, becoming southwest 5 to 10 in the afternoon.
On Friday,
yep. And we got 5 to 10 becoming east 10 to 15 knots after midnight. And so Thursday night into Friday morning is going to be the windy time. And but that wind switching around, coming out of southwest, I pushed a lot of water up here. Yeah, you're going to have a lot of fish under the trees.
I like south winds this time of year because that usually blows more bait and more big fish this way.
There's already so much bait in this harbor. I mean, we already have pods of bait in between the 41 and 75 bridges.
Okay, I said this was the last question, but okay, last year, no bait. This year, overload.
Tons of bait.
What's your question?
Any ideas?
I don't know.
No. No
like
idea.
I said, the last 2 years made me throw my book out the window. I have no idea.
What I have found with the lack of bait, it was really cool because you could tell what people's agendas were.
All right.
If you were against the water releases in the Caloosahatchee, then by God, that's why we didn't have any bait.
Right.
And if you didn't like captains throwing cast nets, then that's why we didn't have any bait because they took too much.
And I'm still with that one.
And if it didn't like the rain, it was because it rained too much. If you didn't like the sun, it was because it sunshined too much. That was the cool thing about it. You found out where everybody stood without any bait in this.
My agenda is still on the no waste. Take what you need, not what you want.
Yeah.
I'm still 100% with that. And if we did that this year when we have a gazillion pieces of bait, and everybody,
people aren't.
Well, a lot of people do.
Right.
And I think that more and more people each year, they see what it's like when we have the bait, and then now we've seen what it's like without the bait. And I think people take what they need, not what they want. We will continue this, bait situation. But
and let it go. At the end of the day, my live well keeps bait all day long, so I can load it.
Isn't that what we do anyways?
No. Do you know how many people got to put their boat on the trailer, get halfway up the ramp, and then throw it out on the ramp? Yeah. It's disgusting.
Or take it home and freeze it.
Or
dump it at the dock where every pelican and seagull eats every bit that goes in the water.
You need to get rid of the bait before. See, that when you're done fishing,
makes sense to me anyways. Why not dump all out of your last fishing hole and keep the fish there?
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
All right. I dump it out at my last spot.
Yeah.
I don't put it in a bat and chum it out. I just dump it out of the live well.
Right. Now, even if you're going in and you're putting in it at the boat ramp, if you let it out before you get the boat on the trailer, take an extra 2 minutes, put that bait back in the water, scoop it up, and dump it back in the water. And try and get more of them to breed. Because every two fish that we save is 500 more the next year. I mean, that's simple math. I mean, 2 = 500.
Yeah.
And
I saw something online. I got an email the other day, something about there's some new organization for forage fish out there. Did you see that?
No, but it's about
save time. The bait.
No,
save the bait. Yeah, that's all we need.
Something or another. It was something like that.
But the big thing about it is people don't realize.
I think their big thing was the commercial guys that are, you know.
We are the commercial guys.
Right.
That's my big deal is.
The big seinetters netting all the pogies and the manhaden.
The purse seiners are, that's beyond scope. Yeah. I've worked on purse seine boats. I have literally been out on them. I've done long line. I've done purse seining. I've done shore seines. There isn't a type of net boat out there I didn't work on when I started my career as a fisherman.
Right.
And the purse seine is the most hideous. The long line and the purse seine are two things that, you know, the commercial guys ain't going to survive without them, but the fish won't survive with them.
Right.
So, but us, each individual recreational angler, has become a commercial fisherman when we throw those cast nets.
Yeah.
So true. As long as we remember, take what we need, not what we want, we're going to get more bait. But last year, who knows what that was about? And because
they didn't come in the harbor because they didn't want to.
Something was off.
That's.
I think it was there to teach us a lesson.
I think it was just a natural cycle in the bait.
I think it's Poseidon's way of saying you guys are being bad.
Yeah. We've seen goofy flushes.
It was probably
throughout the years.
Probably the Boca Grande jiggers.
Yeah,
it was all the jiggers'
fault.
Yeah,
all the jiggers' fault.
I think it was the keel boats that got it. The keel boats probably scared the
whatever
bait.
Whatever it was something.
The keel boats didn't allow them to get through the pass. There was too
whatever
many keel boats in the pass.
Whatever it was,
that was the problem.
Blocked it off.
Yeah, the keel boats blocked off the flow of bait into the pass.
That could be.
That's what it was.
So it's Boca Grande's fault.
It
was Boca Grande's fault. Yeah.
Goofy flushes the past couple. I mean, 2 years ago, the blue crab flush was absolutely insane. Last year, the tilapia flush was unheard of.
Not since the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, now, it's one of those things.
Speaking of blue crabs, you guys see any blue crabs out there?
I see a few, but the harbor from the 41 bridge down to Cape Hayes Point is littered with crab traps. I have never seen so many crab traps in the deep water in a long, long time.
Wow.
And they're out in the middle. They're not along the bars. They're not in the flats. It's all out in the middle.
I'll be darned.
So, tell me the cobia aren't here. You got that many crabs. I mean, and there's...
Not that many crabs, that many crab traps, because each one they put bait into, it's like a continuous reef with structure, food...
Chum.
Yeah.
Chum, everything right there. Yeah. It's that would explain a lot of the king mackerel, explains a lot of the
it's
the cobia. I mean, they're going to follow those crab traps everywhere they put them.
You've seen the way it gets upriver.
Right.
Every 2 feet, it's a crab trap.
Right.
It's no different out in the middle of the harbor right now. I have never seen more new colored buoys than I've ever seen out there. So there is a ton of crabs out there. There's got to be. It's not like they'd leave them there for the past 3 weeks if they weren't getting crabs in them.
Yeah, well, there you go. Okay, well, for as far as final questions and all the rest of that stuff, I think we covered most of the questions. Anything else you guys want to go over?
No, I'm done.
You're done. Kale.
Yeah, I'll throw in the towel.
Okay, this is Fishing Frank in the chair, and that's Captain Kale across from me, and Captain Josh Greer in the other chair. Click their pictures, take you to their websites. You can hire these guys, take you out on charters, and all kinds of cool stuff. So, you know, if you're thinking about coming down, now's a great time to do it. We're just really seeing the tarpon kick off. We've got tons of fish in the harbor. This is the miracle time. This is when it all happens. So call down, get your bookings, go out with these guys, have a lot of fun fishing. It's the best thing I can say about it. And this kind of sums them up.